In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, tradition has handed down to us a letter intended for the Emperor Tiberius, written, purportedly, by a certain Publius Lentulus, a proconsul in Judea and a contemporary of our Lord. Please allow me to quote part of it to you. Lentulus, the governor of the Jerusalemites, to the Roman Senate and people, greetings. There has appeared in our time, and there still lives, a man of great power and virtue called Jesus Christ. The people call him a prophet of the truth, his disciples, the Son of God. He raises the dead, he heals infirmities. He is a man of medium size, he has a venerable aspect, and his beholders can both fear and love him. His aspect is simple and mature, his eyes are changeable and bright. He is terrible in his reprimands, sweet and amiable in his admonitions, cheerful without loss of gravity. He was never known to laugh, but often to weep. His stature is straight, his hands and arms beautiful to behold. His conversation is grave, infrequent, and modest. He is the most beautiful among the sons of men. Without entering into the discussion of the authenticity of this letter, which is not proven, nor of its inauthenticity, which is not certain either, it can nevertheless do this for us, can help us in the light of the texts of this Sunday's Mass of the Good Shepherd to contemplate this truth about our Savior, Jesus Christ. What does he tell us himself in the Gospel? Ego sum pastor bonus. I am the Good Shepherd. Our Lord is the Good Shepherd, not a Good Shepherd among many, but the only true Shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. We know, of course, that Christ knows us better than we know ourselves. But do we know him? And do we seek to deepen our knowledge of our Lord and our God? We've been called to know Christ and to follow him. This is the vocation of all Christians. From him, we receive the graces necessary to live as Christians. However, we must prepare ourselves to receive these graces by a profound disposition, that of imitating Christ in all the actions of our life. We have to allow him to act in our lives. And all of this begins with contemplation of our Lord, of his admirable life, of his ignominious death, of his glorious resurrection, of his divine person subsisting in two natures. Nihil volitum nisi precognitum, says the philosophical maxim. Nothing can be desired unless it is first known. How can we love Jesus Christ if we do not seek to know him first by contemplating him and reflecting upon whom he told us he is? Ego aimi ho poimen ho kalos. This is the Greek for I am the Good Shepherd, and these are the words that St. John the Evangelist chose when recording the teaching of our Lord on this subject. In Greek, the adjective kalos, translated in Latin as bonus or good, also has the meaning of what is suitable, what is better, honorable, and above all, beautiful. When our Lord said, I am the Good Shepherd, he also said, I am the beautiful shepherd. The letter from Publius Lentulus testifies to the same truth. It is said that his face is of incomparable beauty and that no one can stare at him without being dazzled. This physical beauty of the body of our Lord is not a simple exterior aesthetic quality, but rather the brilliance of truth, of goodness, and of being, which in some way overflows all of its natural limits due to the infinity of that being, that divine being. And during this Easter season in particular, we contemplate the indescribable beauty of the divine nature, which is revealed to us in the glorified body of Jesus Christ. The beauty of our Lord physically is the outward manifestation of the goodness and beauty of his being. It is everything we can desire and beyond everything we can desire. He is the Good Shepherd who has given his life for his sheep, and this love which urged him to surrender himself for us makes him infinitely beautiful to us because he is our salvation and he is our resurrection. St. Peter writes in his epistle today, who, Christ, his own self, bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to justice, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now you're converted to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. This divine beauty is what we are made to contemplate, what we are made to know, and nothing else can satisfy our built-in human desire for happiness. Dear faithful, now that Lent is over, perhaps, and I don't think I'm shocking anyone by saying this, perhaps we haven't been as faithful to our daily duties, our good resolutions of prayer, rosary, spiritual reading, confessions that we made during Lent. Perhaps, or rather certainly, the de-Christianized world and its evil master have set traps for us, hiding under the veil of an apparent beauty of sin or attachments to sin. The remedy is simple. If God is our whole life, there will be no room for creatures, or rather, each of these creatures will remain in or return to their proper place. If we persevere, if we seek to grow in our contemplation and our knowledge of the face of our crucified and risen Lord, he will give us the grace to make his thoughts our thoughts, his desires our desires, his divine affection ours, and thus fulfill our duties of love towards him. Let us not be distracted by the impoverished substitutes for true beauty that the devil, the world, and the flesh offer us. To paraphrase St. Augustine, he is beyond greedy for whom God is not enough. We must learn to desire God more and more, and the only way to do this is to get to know him more and more. Let us contemplate then and love the beauty of the Good Shepherd in the Divine Liturgy. Let us contemplate and love the beauty of the Good Shepherd who is revealed to us in Holy Scriptures, the teachings of the Magisterium, the writings of the saints. Let us contemplate and love the beauty of the Good Shepherd and the wisdom and kindness of our friends and loved ones. Let us contemplate and love the beauty of the Good Shepherd in the good qualities of our family and friends, our acquaintances, especially those qualities that we perhaps do not possess ourselves and which must be for us a source of humility, but also joy. Finally, let us contemplate and love the goodness of the beautiful shepherd in the Holy Eucharist. The disciples recognized the Lord Jesus by the breaking of the bread we sing today in the Alleluia. The desire for this Paschal sacrament should be central to our lives. Let us show our Lord of our desire for him by visiting him often in the churches where his love keeps him captive for us. Let us seek to make sacramental, or at least spiritual communions, part of our daily lives. And let us ask all these graces humbly from the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen of Heaven, that she gives us a heart similar to that of her Divine Son, who is, as Publius Lentulus tells us in his letter, the most beautiful and sweetest figure that we have ever seen in these countries. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.